Tonight's shiur in Parshas Vayakel, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Levi Nishpas Yaakov Yitzchak Menchai. Sedra starts out, Vayakel Moshe, Eskola Das Ben Israel, Vayomer Alehem, Eile Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La Sososam. The Chasam Sofer says, what's this idea of La Sososam? That there's a lot of things we can learn, we do learn from the Mishkan. It's not just Etzim building the Mishkan, but we are to learn things from the various Kalim, what they represent. For example, the Aron represents a Talmud Chacham. And as we know, the Midos of the Aron are all broken, right? 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5, they're all halves. It's the teacher that Talmud Chacham has to be humble, he has to feel that he's incomplete, he has to work on himself. So this is things that we can learn from the Mishkan. Says the Chasam Sofer, therefore, Eile Advarim, Asher Tziva Hashem La Sososam, to do. We're supposed to learn from the Mishkan to do them, and therefore to become a better people and bigger Talmidei Chachamim. And likewise, the Gemara in Bracha says that when we do complete ourselves, when we do become Talmid Chachamim, then in the end, the Goyim will do our work for us. And Mela, that's the connection from the first Pasuk and the second Pasuk. Because right after that, after we say, Lasososam, it says, Sheshes Yamim Teyaseh Malacha. That for 6 days, work shall be done. It doesn't say, Taseh, do work. Teyaseh means work will be done for you. And therefore, if you're lasososam, you learn from the Mishkan, and you do, not just what you read, but you do it, so then your work will be done for you. Next, the Sedra discusses Shabbos. Sheishas amim teaseh malacha. As we said, v'yom ha'shvi yeh lachem kodesh, Shabbat Shabbaton l'Hashem. Kol savo malacha yumas. It's a mashal given by the Magid Midubna. There was once a fellow lived in a small town in Europe. And he felt he needed another outlet for Parnassus. So he went to America to try his luck there. So he was doing quite well. But he was getting homesick. He'd been gone for quite a while. And he missed everybody back in the old hometown. So one day he gets a knock on his door, opens it up, and who's standing there? Moishele from his hometown. He says, "Oh, Moishe, what's going on? I don't believe it. What are you doing here in America?" He says, "I came on a fundraising trip." He says, "Oh, I'm so glad you happened to knock on my door." He says, "Wonderful. I miss home so much. I want to catch up on all the news. Please come in, sit down. I'll make you something to eat. We can schmooze, you know." So Moishe says, "Listen, I'd love to stay and talk. But I can't, I'm only here for a few days, and I'm raising money, and I can't just sit and schmooze. Time is money, as they say." So, he was all upset. He said, "Listen, Moshe, how much money do you think you'd make in a day anyways? Let's say the most." So he goes, "I don't know, $1,000. He goes, "Fine, I'll give you $1,000, writes him a check. Fine. So now you're staying here and you're schmoozing with me, telling me all the news of the town. Right? I'm paying for you. $1,000 what you'd make today, I'm giving to you. Now stay here." He goes, "Okay, fine." So he started starting to eat, and they started talking about this, talking about that. After an hour or so, Moshe was getting a little bit, tired from all the speeches. So he said, "Okay, if you don't mind, I'd like to, lie down for a few minutes." So Balabai says, "Nothing doing, Moshe. You're not lying down. You're on my time. Right, I paid you $1,000, and now your time is my time. Tomorrow you can go to sleep, do whatever you want, but today you're on my time." So too, Kosh Baruch Hu says the same thing. For 6 days of the week, Hashem says, "You want to work, you want to do this, we'll say, okay, whatever you want. But, v'yom ha'shvi'i, yeh lachem kodesh Shabbat Shabboson l'Hashem." That's Hashem says, the seventh day is mine. You're on my time. I want you to have a Shabbos meal, to sing Zmiras, to learn Torah, to be in Tefillah, whatever. This is a day of Ruchni. This is my time. After that, 6 days is yours, seventh day is mine. There's a discussion, what's the Lashon of Shabbat Shabbaton? Right? We see sometimes when a word is, you add a nun to it at the end, like Shabbaton, the nun, it makes into something like little. Reminded me, we say like the pupil in a person's eye is called an ishon. Why? Because the Lashon ish is a person. Ishon, like a little person. When you look inside, you see the person in the black part of the eye, the reflection of the person. So it's a ishon. So nun makes it little. So too, Shabbat Shabbaton, there's a concept that Shabbos could be little. What is that? That the machlokes in Daf Samech Tes and Shabbos, what happens if a person's in the desert and he loses track of time, he has no idea what day of the week it is. So machlokes, one opinion says you keep Shabbos right away, and then you count afterwards 6 days, and then Shabbos again, etc. The other opinion says the opposite. First count 6 days, and then do Shabbos after 6 days. So either way you do it, it could be that you're totally off the mark, right? It could be Shabbos is really when it's Tuesday for you, you know? But you don't know, so you have to, you know, make up this Shabbos. So that day you can't do malacha, it's almost just like Shabbos for you. But it's not real Shabbos, right, necessarily. Not sure you hit the jackpot, but it could be that it's not really Shabbos. So therefore we see sometimes it can be Shabbat Shabbaton. A little Shabbos. I mean, it's not the real Shabbos, it's just Shabbaton. It's kind of like Shabbos, but not the real thing. Another example of this, we see the Parsha Strachim says that when there's Shabbos in the world, there's Shabbos, it's the Shabbos not only down here, it's also Shabbos in Shemayim. So the question is, exactly what time is Shabbos in Shemayim? Is it Shabbos and Shemayim? In other words, when we're keeping Shabbos here, for example, in America, you know, they're 7 hours behind, and Australia, they're, I don't know how many hours different. So there's all kinds of different times. So what are they doing up there? Like, when is Shabbos? So the Parsha Strachim says, you know what, when the real Shabbos is in Shemayim? Here, when it's Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael. That's the real Shabbos. Real Shabbos is here in Eretz Yisrael, that's the Shabbos in Shemayim. So it comes out, he says that when all the other places in the world, when they're keeping Shabbos, it's Shabbat Shabbaton, like the little Shabbos. Not the real Shabbos, because the Ikar Hashpas of Shabbos, he says, is when it's Shabbos in here in Eretz Yisrael. That's the same time as in Shemayim. However, everywhere else, it's kind of Shabbos. So it's Shabbat Shabbaton. It says in the next pasuk, Sheshem Mitzvah Seh Melacham Yisheshem Shabbat, so it says Kolose vo malacha yumas. So we see in some places we see Shabbos written in the masculine, right? Like we see over here. Okay, Kolose vo malacha yumas. Vo is masculine. Remember, there's in it in the masculine Shabbos. Yet we find Shabbos written also in the in Parshas Kisisa. We just had it last week. Ushmartem es Shabbos ki kodesh hi. It's feminine. Hi lachem mechalaleha mos yumas kolo alseva malacha. It's all feminine. So the question is, what is it? Is Shabbos masculine or Shabbos feminine? So the lechem lefiatav says a nice idea. He says that there's a nigla and a nister are part of Shabbos. Okay, the nigla part, what's revealed, that's the feminine. Why is it feminine? Because what we see, it looks like Shabbos is like what always the feminine gender represents is the one that's mekabel, right? So Shabbos looks like it's just receiving. Why? You're not doing anything on Shabbos. You're not working. You're just receiving. And Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. You have to do before Shabbos, and then you'll have on Shabbos. So Shabbos seems to be on the surface like it's receiving. Therefore, there's a feminine type of concept of Shabbos. But on the other hand, we say that Shabbos is Makor HaBracha. Lafech, Shabbos is what is the giver. It gives, and that's masculine. So since that's the nister, right? It looks on the surface like Shabbos is receiving. But in the end, Shabbos is really mashpia on the whole week. It's the Makor HaBracha. So therefore, there's a feminine part of Shabbos and a masculine part of Shabbos. There's a nice hint to it also in Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Zayin. It says, Kadesh es Yom HaShabbos Levilti Asos Bo Kol Malacha. And the word bo here is written bet hey. There's a kri and a ksiv. So what you see is bet hey, the feminine. That's the nigla. That's what it looks like. It's feminine. But you read it bo, right? As if it's what's the hidden, what you don't see, and that's the masculine. That's really the Shabbos is the makorah bracha. So Meiser, speaking about Shabbos, Meiser with the Marasham Berjan, he was the grandfather of Shalom Shvadron, and he was a rav of a city, and there was a problem that the barbers in the city were keeping their shops open on Shabbos. So what happened was a couple of them wanted to keep it open, and then it became like nobody wanted to close on Shabbos because they didn't want to lose the business of the other guy. So all the group, where everybody had a barbershop, was keeping it open. So the Marsham wanted to do something about it. So he called them all in one day, all the barbers, and he said, "Okay, you're all keeping your Shabbos. Nobody wants to close. We'll make out a contract here. Everybody's going to sign it to keep their store closed on Shabbos. Therefore, nobody's going to feel like because everybody's closing their store. Everybody." So you agree, so to sign, everybody, yes, yes, yes. One guy said, "No, I'm not signing. I don't care, I'm keeping my store open." So as much as he tried to convince him, he said, "No." So the Marsham said, "Listen," he said, "wait, Kodesh Baruch Hu has many ways of, working things out. He said, if you don't want to close your store on Shabbos, Hashem can make you break your arm, and you won't be able to, cut people's hair on a weekday either." So he said, "I don't care, I'm not caught nothing." And so since he didn't want to, sign, so then nobody wanted to sign, because again. So, and that's it, they left. No sooner did they walk out of his house, the guy who didn't want to sign slipped, fell, and he broke his arm. So immediately they all went back in, and they all signed the paper. Okay. It says, the next pasuk, right after this, Lo Sivaru Eish Bechol Moshvaseichem B'Yom HaShabbos. You shouldn't light fires on Shabbos. So everybody asked the question, we know there's 39 malachas of Shabbos, why of all the malachas, does the Torah pick Lo Sivaru Eish? Go ahead, it's only one of the malachas. Why are Dafka picking one malacha? Okay, the Gemara has its limudim. But Pidrash, there is Sefer Ben Oshri. He says, based on the hint to the Gemara and Daf Kuf Yotes and Shabbos, the Gemara says that the Tleika, that fire, is found where there's Chilul Shabbos. And likewise, where there's no Chilul Shabbos, so there's no fires. Therefore, that's what the Torah is hinting over here. Right? It mentions Shabbos, so you have to keep Shabbos, Shabbos, etc. And it says, Lo Suvar Eish, Bechol Mosh Vasechem. Shereach, you realize, if you keep Shabbos, Lo Suvar Eish, then there won't be fires. In fact, it was a maisa with the Baba Sali, was that all? There was a fire in where he was living, and the fire was on Shabbos and it was approaching his house. So they wanted to call for help to put out the fire, whatever. So the Baba Sali said, "Nothing to worry about, right? The fire is not going to go into my house because Chazal say that the lake is Mitsuya with his Chil Shabbos, and my house is no Chil Shabbos." Sure enough, the fire came right next to his house and went out, didn't go in. Chachava. Okay. While on the topic of Shabbos, one second, there's another board on this. One second. Okay, hold this. Say it. The Sharbas Rabim. So the Sharbas Rabim, there's another answer to why it says Lo Suvar Reish. So he said that Shabbos, we know, is Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis. In Maisa Bereishis, Hashem created the world in 6 days, seventh day was Shabbos. When was fire discovered? Only on Motzei Shabbos. So since Shabbos is Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis, so one might have a Havamina that the one malacha that I could do is Dafka light a fire. Why? Because fire was not there in the 6 days of creation. It was only after Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, since it wasn't during the 6 days of creation, and Shabbos is Zeichel and Maisa Bereishis, one might think, Dafka, you could light a fire, therefore has to tell us, Lo Suvar Eish B'chol Mosh V'Seichel. Others say, the Tori Zav, that Shabbos is a time when people have free time. They're not working, whatever. So unfortunately, they have time to schmooze, and then schmoozing, once they start schmoozing, leads to Lashon Hara, Rechilas, etc., and eventually, unfortunately, Machlokas. And that's the Eish of Machlokas. And therefore, that's why the Torah is what the Torah is hinting to over here. It mentions Shabbos, says Shabbos is very nice, but there's a danger that it might be of Eisha Machloichas. If a loss of Aru Eish, Bechol Moshe Seichim. When you're in like a Moshe of Leitzim, you know, you're getting together in groups on Shabbos and Shmoozing, be careful, loss of Aru Eish. On topic of Shabbos, is one of the Zmiros we sing called Mekadei Shvi. So there's a difficult passage in there. One of the things we say in the Zemer, we say Dor She Hashem Zera Avram Ohavo Hamaachrim Letzeis Mina Shabbos Mema'arim Lavo. Hey, those there are Dor She Hashem. They are me'achrim, let's say, they go out from Shabbos late. They don't rush to take a Shabbos out. They take it out late. And me'arim lavo, and they take it in early. So the obvious question is, it's out of order. Right? What do you do? First take out Shabbos and then take it in? No, first you take in Shabbos and then you take it out. So why does it say me'achrim, let's say, mishan Shabbos, me'arim lavo? It should be the other way around. First it would be me'arim lavo, and then me'achrim, let's say. So the Siddur Mekor HaTfilas wants to say the following. Says in our Sedra, again, in the Pasuk here of Shabbat, it says, Yelechem Kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. Here we have the word Kodesh before the word Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. Kodesh is the adding on to the Kiddush of Shabbos. So there's a hint in our Sedra, as the Baal Turim says this, that since Kodesh comes the word before the word Shabbos, it's an Indian to add Kodesh before Shabbos, and it was taken Shabbos early. However, in Parshas Beshalach, by the man, it says, Hu Asher Dibir Hashem, Shabbason, Shabbos Kodesh. There it's the other way around. There, first it says Shabbos, and then Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. So there is a hint to Shabbos, and then Kodesh afterwards to take out Shabbos late. Add to Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, to take Shabbos out late. So Meili says, since our Sedra, which is Vayakel, we find a hint of taking in Shabbos early, right, since it says first Kodesh and then Shabbos. And earlier on in Parshas Beshalach, before this, we have taking out Shabbos late, since Kodesh comes after Shabbos. So therefore, the Zemer goes after that order, right? That's in the Torah, first it mentions taking out Shabbos and Kisisa late, and taking it in early later after in this Parsha, the Yaka. Over somebody, I once told this word to somebody, he asked me a good question. He says, that's very nice. Well, so, that we explained the Zemer, but why did the Torah write in this order? Why did the Torah talk about taking out Shabbos out first, and then, okay, the Zemer is going after what the Torah said. Why did the Torah write like that? So I think we once said an idea that I was thinking of, and that's as follows, that there's a Gemara in the Shabbos that discusses, in Erevin, excuse me, and the Kafala talks about Pasei Beiros, right? That if a person has a pit in the Rishus HaRabim, and you want to take water out, so the problem, because the pit's the Rishus HaYachid and the Rishus HaRabim, so the Chachamim made a special thing. You could put out these boards, corner pieces, whatever, and then you're allowed to take out water. So there's a statement in the Gemara over said that it only helps for animals. You want to, you know, take water out for your animals. But for the person, it doesn't work. A person that says, Metapes Be'ole Metapes V'yored. You have to go down into the pit and drink the water and then come out. But you can't take it out. So we find also it's a very strange lashon over there, right? It says, Metapes Ve'ole, Metapes Ve'yored. First you climb up and you climb down. When you're going to a pit, what do you do first? Climb up or climb down? First you climb down. You should have said, Metapes Ve'yored, Metapes Ve'ole, not the other way. So I don't remember where I saw it, but I remember one of the Mephorshim says that when we see such a lashon, a backwards lashon, I thought it was Tosas, but I couldn't find it, that we see a backwards lashon like this, it's telling us, it's a hint to something which is constant. You know, it's not just one time thing, that, but metabes all means you have to, whenever you want to drink, you have to first go down and drink a constant thing. When the Chazal and the Meram is the consistency, it writes it in this backwards, opposite way. So Mele, I want to say, we can explain the Zemer the same idea, right? If Adai, we take in Shabbos early first, take it out late, that comes second. But the one who wrote the Zemer, wanted to Meram, is that these Dor She Hashem, That what do? They're me'achrim, say Hashem, Amharim Lavo, it's written in that way, the opposite way. Tell it, they don't just do it once, it's not a one-time thing. Oh, one time, they have to take Shabbos in early, take it out late. No, it's a constant thing, every single week, taking it in turn to late. So in order to meramis to this consistency, it's not just a one-time thing, it writes it in the opposite direction. Okay, says the tefillah of Shabbos in Musaf, says Yismechu b'malchus Hashem Rishabes v'karayonig Am Mekadesh Shevi Kulam Yispu'u V'yisangu Mituvecha. So Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka asks an interesting question. We say this all the time, but it's something difficult here. It says we're Yispu'u. What is Yispu'u? Lashon Saveya. We are full. And then V'yisangu Mituvecha. What's V'yisangu Oneg? To enjoy. How can you enjoy when you're full? V'yispu v'itangu. Once you're yispu already, you're full, so how can you v'isangu? How can you enjoy? You can't enjoy something when you're full. So the answer is based on a hafla. The Gemara in Brachas says, how do we know that you're supposed to make a bracha after we eat? So the Gemara says, because of mazon. It says, v'chalta v'sabat v'rachta. The Gemara says, how do we know that you're supposed to make a bracha before we eat? So the Gemara says, it's a kal v'chomer. Right? If you're blessing Hashem when you're full, after you eat, so surely, you know, when you need food, you know, you're gonna bless Hashem when you're hungry. Alright. So then, the Gemara says also, how do we know we make a bracha before that we read the Torah? So we learned that, because it says in the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hovu Goro Lelokin. However, question asked before the Torah, but how do we know? How do you know to think of bracha after? So he explains that there's a difference between enjoyment, gashmiastic enjoyment and ruchnias. What's the difference? By gashmias, right, a person's hungry, whatever, he wants a taiva, he wants food or whatever, so what happens? He eats, and as soon as he does what he wants, you know, goes after his taiva, then that's it, he's full, he's not hungry anymore. It's gone, it's over, right? Whereas by ruchnias, it's the opposite. Right, a person starts off, so to speak, full. You say, yeah, I know, I'm not so interested in learning so much. But then once you start learning, all of a sudden you get hungrier and hungrier. You want more and more. And we see how much there is, what there is to know, and what. You get hungrier. So it works totally the opposite. Memele, we can have the same limud, he says, from the Torah that we have in Birkas HaMazon. We said, if you make a bracha when you're full, right, by benching, surely when you're hungry. So we ask, well, how do we know he's making after bracha by a Torah? So it's the same concept, because by the Torah it's the opposite. Right? By Torah you start off when you're full, and then you get hungry later. So if you make a bracha when you're full before the Torah, kol shekein after the Torah when you're hungry. So Mimele, he says, the answer uses that to answer what we say in Musaf. Right? Kulam yisbu v'isangu mituvech. We said, you're yisbu, how can you be a misangu? Once you're full, how are you going to enjoy? There it says, because when it comes to ruchnias, that's how it works. Gashmi is not like that. But ruchnias, you start off hungry, yisbu, but then, the more you're full, the more you're hungry you are, then you get, because you see how much you really want. So I was thinking, using this idea to answer another question that they ask in the Sedra. It says in the Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zion, it says that they were bringing all the things to the Mishkan. He said, that's it. Don't do any more malacha trum as a kodesh. They stop. And it says then, v'malacha haisa dayam l'chol malacha lasotota v'hoser. It was dayam v'hoser. So they ask, the Maram Shif asks, this is what if it's dayam, how can it be hoser? Dayam means must speak, enough. Dayam, day, it's enough. And then it says, vihoser. Hoser means it was extra. What is that? It's either dayam or hoser. I could say dayam or hoser. So the Maram Shif answers, he says that you have, let's say, a kos, or havdala kos, right? So how do you know when it's full, dayam, day, enough? It spills over. It's only after it spills over. When it's hoser, then you know it's die. Until then, it might not be full. How do you know it's die is enough? When it spills over, then you know it's enough. All right, Marm Shem. I was thinking, based on this word from the, we said from Yehuda Tzadka, we could say the same idea. Now, what were they bringing? Were they bringing for the Mishkan? The Mishkan was what it was, a gashmius thing, I think, or ruchnius. It was totally ruch. Everything was ruchnius. Al limudim, we said, everything's where it represents is ruchnius. Everything, the whole thing is a ruchnius idea. And we just got through saying, based on the Maram, based on the Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, we saw that when it comes to ruchnius, person starts off full, but then he gets hungry and hungry as he go along. So Mele, since they were bringing all those things from the Mishkan, it was die. It started off die, enough. But then, full, you know, that's enough, I'm full. But then, Hoser, because when it comes to Ruchni, it starts off die, and you end up Hoser afterwards. Okay, one last idea. It says, famous Rashi and Lamed Hey Kav Zayin. Rashi says, "Vanisim meviu es avnei Hashom avnei miluim laifod velachoshen." So the word nisim, the princes there, is written without a yud. So Rashi says, "Amari nasan ma ra'u nisim litnadeh b'chanukas hamizbeach betchila b'mlechas hamishkan lo hitadvu betchila." Well, how come over here they didn't give their things at the beginning, only at the end, whereas by the Chanukah HaMizbeach, they were the first. Elakach amru anisim, yitadvu tzibur ma'ashem mitnadvim. Let the tzibur first give whatever is left over. Ma'ashem echserim anu mashlimim. If they also, anything left over will make up the deficit. Once they saw that everything was given, so they said, Nisim said, Ma'aleinu la'asot. So what should we do? There's nothing to bring. So then, Heviyu avnei Hashoam. But since they were lazy, therefore the Nisim is written without a yod. So the Ber Yosef explains, okay, why dafka yud, right? Why was a yud left out? It can be any one of the letters. So he says that there were 15 parts to the Mishkan, things that were brought: kesev, zahav, nechoshes, chelis, argamon, 15 things altogether. So what did the Nesim bring out of these things? So they brought all together 5 things. Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, Bosem, Shemen, those are 4, plus the Machatzis HaShekel, that's 5. So since they brought 5 out of the 15, what was missing? 10. So therefore, the Yud was taken out of their name. In conclusion, I was thinking that based on this Rashi, to give another answer to the Daive Hoser question, right? That Moshe said, okay, stop bringing, and it was whatever they brought was Dai and Hoser. We said, if it's Dai, if it's enough, what's the Hoser? So I was thinking, based on this Rashi. Because Rashi says again, you know, that the Nesim said, okay, we'll make up the deficit or whatever, until what happened. Then, since everybody brought him and came in, Shishlimu at Sibur as a call, Shene'emar, what pasuk does Rashi bring? Said they brought, but once the Nesim saw that everything was brought, as it says, Shene'emar, Vamalacha haita dayam. Rashi brings Mamish this pasuk, the Dayam Behoser. He brings this pasuk. Since he saw there was Dayam, so they said, oh, now what are we going to do? Everything's taken. So then they brought the jewels. Now, where do these Avnei Shom, where did they come from? So Chazal tell us that it wasn't around, it came from Shemayim. Right? Some say fell with the man at their doorstep, so it wasn't around, it just fell later on. Okay, and then he said, that's what they brought. So Mela, I was thinking, they make another pshat. That at first, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Okay, stop bringing dayam. Everything is dayam. It's enough. Meaning, because everything that they had on hand that was around, they brought. There's nothing more. Finished. Everything that they had on hand was there that they brought. But what? But then, as Rashi says, aita dayam, that's it. But then the Nesim said, wait, that's not fair, we have nothing to bring, what's going to be? So then what did Hashem do? He brought them the stones from Shemayim. Oh, now there was extra. V'hoser. Started off die, but now they had extra. The thing that wasn't there before when the Moshe said die. Ad kan, we should all be zoicha to see the Hashras HaShechina once again in the Binyan by Shlishi B'mhimri Amenu Amen.